Hey, top of the morning to you, Deesa. You smoothie, me ice cold pizza. Cafe ole, latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. Hits me like a wake up bomb. Cause we both know that it's mercy flows in the morning.
Praise God, praise God. Good morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Tenon. Father God, I thank and praise you today because this is the day that you have made and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father God, this morning I thank you, according to 1 John 3:8, for this purpose, the Son of God was revealed, made manifest, to destroy the works of the devil, all the works of the devil, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you just good. That's all I can say. We bind and rebuke, destroy every intent of evil that is launched against us, anyone on this headline, their family members, their resources, their workplaces, and their children, spouses. Lord God, we bind that stuff up this morning. We bind up witchcraft intent this morning. We break and destroy the power of all witches, wizards, shamans. We break and destroy the power, Lord God, of all spiritual witchcraft. We command all those spirits to be bound in chains and fetters of iron, covered with a blood covering of the blood of Jesus. Go to the pit and remain there bound until the day of judgment by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you this morning for your abundance. We thank you this morning for your life. Life in your Holy Spirit. Life in Jesus Christ. And life now, present, future, eternal life with you, Father God. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven this morning. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. I am assuming everything's okay on the blog talk. Everything's okay. It seems to be on the speaker. But you know, this morning, I got to see, I want to talk to you about something that is vital. It's just vital. Let me ask you right now, how you feeling, Tedline? How you feeling this morning? You feeling okay? You feeling okay? Well, let me tell you something. You're just beginning. You're just beginning. But I want to point out something to you that's very visible. And I don't know if you have discerned it, but it really hit me this morning. It really hit me this morning. And the reality of it is so in your face. It's in your face. And that's why we as believers are going to have to take authority. I mean real authority, not play stuff, not selfish authority. Based on, you know, you, me, my, mine, but based on heaven on earth, okay, that kind of authority. So, we are sons and daughters of God. We are. We really are. And some of us don't seem to act like it. So my word for you this morning, it is time for you to come back home. Come back home, Erica. Yeah. Come back home and take your rightful place in your inherited authority.
This young man, he had it all made at home for him. So one day, he said to his father, "Dad, please give me my portion of inheritance. I'm leaving." So his father gave him his portion and he left. Now listen to the story.
It's never too late. Please come back. Never too late. Please come back home. Father is waiting to welcome you home. Never too late. Please come back home. Never too late.
Never too late.
Everything. You lost everything. You lost your mind. Hallelujah. There will be mountains that I will have to climb, and there will be battles that I will have to fight. But victory or defeat, it's up to me to decide. How can I expect to win if I never try? I just can't give up now. Come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me the road would be easy, and I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. Never said there would be trials, never said I wouldn't fall, never said that everything would go the way I want it to go. But when my back is against the wall and I feel all hope is gone, I just lift my head up to the sky and said, help me to be strong, Lord. I just can't give up now. I've come too far from where I've started from. Nobody told me the road to lead me. I know you didn't bring me out here to leave me lonely, even when I can't see clearly, Lord. I know that you're with me, though I can't.
I just can't. I've come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me the road would be easy, and I don't believe he brought me this far to lead me. I just
There was no one in heaven, no one on earth is worthy to open the scroll. Then one of the elders said, John, don't you cry, it's all a part of God's plan. Then in the center of God's glorious throne, hallelujah, there stood a lamb. And they sang, worthy, worthy of honor and praise. They were casting down crowns and praising his name. When he cried, who is worthy? Jesus saying, I am. Oh Lord, praise God forever. There stood a lamb. Now open the Bible, open your heart, it is true. We're in the last days. And he said, I'll come quickly, so don't be surprised when he comes back to take us away. And feeble excuses won't get very far when you find yourself there at his throne. If you know Jesus, Jesus, he is your Lord, hallelujah, you won't be alone. And we sung, worthy, worthy of honor and praise. They were casting down crowns. We'll be praising his name. When he says, are you worthy? Jesus saying, I am. I'm worthy. Praise God forever. There stood the Lamb. And we sung, God, they were casting down crowns and praising his name.
brothers and sisters, yesterday I must have received at least 100 texts and emails combined, you know. And the interesting thing is that 31 of those texts and emails were from teachers, principals, college professors, and Sunday school teachers. Yep. So I never know what God is doing, but I know that he's always doing something. And all of them basically had the same question. And the question was this: Sister Erica, or Dr. Erica, or whatever they call me, you said that you got hit pretty bad from some children. I'm gonna try to find one of the, well, I can't find it. I'm not even going to try to look for it. But they're right there. I probably erased some of them because I have to make room on my phone. And they said, could you please explain this? Because we work with children all day long. And we want to know, one of them said that, one of them said, we're probably not handling this appropriately. Another one of them said, I had no idea, most of them said this, that I could take a hit from a child because I work in a school for troubled kids. And another one, I got one from a group home. That's what it was, a group home. And said, I know that, you know, we bind these spirits every day, but something keeps happening. And could you please explain that? So I'm going to take a little time this morning to help my teacher friends out and principals and instructors. This is the answer to your question. I told you I would give it on the TED line this morning. Well, I went into it a little bit the other day when I told you that there's no such thing as a baby spirit. I explained to you, and the principle would be Adam. When God shaped Adam from the dust in the ground, and God blew into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. Adam was born grown. Adam was born grown. So when God breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul, Adam's soul was fully grown when it was breathed into, Adam's soul, when God breathed into him, and what I'm sure you already know that when Adam breathed the breath of life, breathed the breath of life into Adam, God breathed himself, right, into Adam. So, when God breathed himself into Adam, you know God ain't no baby, okay? Because Jesus, when Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and I have a teaching out there that I won't even go there, but I have a teaching out there on that. But anyway, so then... When Mary conceived Jesus in her womb and the sperm and the egg, Jesus was fully God when he came in the form of a baby. You understand that? Jesus came to earth as the Son of Man, but he was fully the Son of God at the same time. So Jesus' spirit did not have to grow up because it was fully grown, so to speak. So when you have a baby, the baby's flesh has to mature and grow, but the baby's spirit is fully grown. All right? So then the baby has to increase in knowledge and skill and wisdom and understanding. So that's why you have like baby, infant, toddler, adolescent, and so forth and so on. But the baby's spirit is fully grown. That's why some people can teach their baby to read. They understand that. So they can teach their baby to read at 12 months or 1 year, 2 years. But the baby's body is still maturing. So that when a little kid gets baptized in the Holy Spirit, and like me used to have him run those women's homes, I saw babies get baptized with the Holy Spirit at 2, 3, 4, 5. I saw a crack baby get filled with the Holy Spirit at around 5 or 6 months. And that's why you can, and sometimes you have to cast demons out of babies and toddlers and so forth. Because of this right here, no dodo head, excuse me, y'all. Somebody thinking, are you saying that the baby have demons? Well, the baby didn't sin. You don't have to sin to have a demon. Please understand this. The Bible says you born into sin and you shaped in iniquity. That is, the Bible says, the sins of the fathers unto the children to the third and the fourth generation. Now, sin is a word, but sin is also a power. Can somebody find me that scripture that says the power, it speaks of the power of sin? The power of sin. Okay, the power of sin, or the the power of sin is in there. The power of sin, right? The Bible tells you and I can somebody find it? Power of sin. Did you find it? No, not that one. It says the power of sin. I got a whole podcast on the power of sin. Well, Acts 26, verse 18 says, the power of Satan unto God. And then Hebrews No, that's the prince of the power of the air. But, here it is. In the Amplified. Thank you. Ephesians 2:1-3 would be the part two. Okay. Thank you, Jennifer R. 1 Corinthians 15:56 talks about the power of sin. Romans 6:7, the Amplified, the power of sin. Okay. Sin is a power. Remember in Ephesians 6, it says principalities, powers, thrones, dominions. In Ephesians 6, the scripture, okay, Romans 6:7, but when a man dies, he is freed, loose, delivered from the power of sin among men. Now, Ephesians 6 talks about principalities, powers, thrones, dominions. Can somebody post that, please? Okay. Ephesians 6, where it says principalities, powers, thrones, spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual wickedness in high places. There it is. Thank you. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Now, I'm not going to assume anything because none of us know everything. I just know a little bit. But you all know that everything is not a demon. That there are powers, there are principalities, there is spiritual wickedness in high places. If it's not the truth, then this word of God here is a lie. If it's not true, the Bible is a lie. And if one part of the Bible is a lie, the whole Bible is a lie. This is the truth. So, Paul is telling you here to put on the whole armor, that you're going to be able to stand against the wiles, tricks of the devil, but we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. A baby, a little kid, their flesh and blood is just their physical flesh and blood body like everybody else. But their spirit man and their soulish man, they come here, brothers and sisters, with a spirit. We all do. We all have a human spirit, and that human spirit is what has to be born again or regenerated, recreated once we become born again unto God, okay? So if a kid named Billy is born, Billy is a little baby. You ever look at a newborn? A newborn is always looking up to God. A newborn is always smiling because that newborn know God because they ain't been too long left there. That is their spirit and their soul. So then, Billy, let's just say Billy's granddaddy. Oh, we could think of Billy the kid, cowboy. But let's just say that Billy's granddaddy, no, let's say Billy's daddy was a murderer, was a pedophile, and abuser. I got to keep up with myself because this one is coming from the Holy Spirit. So I said he was a murderer, a pedophile,
an abuser, and a thief. Okay? Okay. Billy comes into the world, and Billy is loved, loved, loved by his mama and daddy. Billy was anticipated, wanted by his mama and daddy. But there's one problem. Oh, yeah, I'll give you a real, yeah, I'll include this with a real example. Billy's mama was saved. And Billy's daddy, who is the daddy, Billy's daddy is the son of this murderer, pedophile, abuser, and thief. Okay? So here, enter the world, Billy. Now, Billy did not come through a blessed womb. Why are you saying that? Because the Bible talks about the fruit of the womb being blessed. But Billy's daddy was not saved. Billy's daddy had the spirit of a murderer, a pedophile, abuser, and a thief. Billy's mama was saved. So Billy's daddy actually defiled Billy's mama. So here Billy was born. What? I used to use this term. I didn't know what I was talking about, but I said mutant babies. You know why? Because little Billy got a problem. One half of Billy is good, and the other half of Billy was born under a curse. What was the curse? Murder, pedophile, abuser, thief. Those are all attributes of Satan. Well, here you have Billy born. Billy's mama show him love, but the spirits that Billy got from his daddy and his daddy got it from his daddy are at war, because Billy's daddy's assignment from the devil was to take Billy's mama away from God, because Billy's mama violated God's law. God's law said, be ye not unequally yoked with an unbeliever. What fellowship have an unbeliever with a believer? So the person who's going to really bear the fruit of this is Billy. Billy is bearing the fruit, the iniquities of his daddy, and Billy is bearing the fruit of the iniquity of the mother for violating God's law, for not marrying a believer and marrying and yielding her spirit, because the Bible talks about the wife being subject to the husband. So she yielded the spirit of God to the spirit of Satan. Billy come here with issues. Billy come here with spiritual issues, because everything Billy mama tell Billy, Billy daddy negated, because he's the ruling spirit in that house. So when the kid come to school right under his teacher with all of that. And if the teacher does not bind those spirits every day, the teacher is bringing the influence that she got from Billy and the other 30, 40 kids in her. I'm just picking out Billy. But she got 20, 30, 40 other kids in her classroom or his classroom. And all of those spirits cause his spirit to war against them, because he is dealing with 40, 120, 130, or 120, or 10,000, or 20,000, or 50,000 Antichrist spirits in his classroom. So that's why the Bible says you got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so don't you make no mistake about it. Lucifer was in heaven with God. Lucifer recognized the anointing. Lucifer knew the anointing, because it was jealousy that caused him to corrupt his relationship with God, because he wanted what he saw. He lusted after it. He coveted it. And eventually, he lost his place in heaven because of it. Am I making sense out there to anybody this morning? Let me know in the chat room, yes or no. Do you understand what I'm saying? And this is how. So you say, how you get hit? If you know this, this is how I got hit. I got hit because, you see, I've never had any children, ever. And now I know why, more so. And these little kids wanted a grandma. And you know what? I told Brother Joe, you know, we could be their surrogate grandparents. But you know what? I did not know that their real grandparents were still alive and serving Satan. And under the bondage of Satan. So when I said yes, I opened myself up to everything that a grandmother has in a relationship with a child, not knowing that their grandma and their biological grandpa was fighting heaven and earth to get them back unto dominion and unto subjection of Satan. Bam, I was hit. And didn't know it. And do I still love the kid? Yes, I do. But you know what? I know how to guard myself now. I didn't have all the facts. Had I had all the facts, I still could have done, but I would have put up prayer defenses. Did I know the little kids need to be delivered? Yes. Did I know that you know they were under God's protective custody? Yes. So I thought, you know, I'm gonna do a good thing. But listen to me. When a good thing doesn't matter. What matters is a God thing. It's a God thing that matters. Because God is our defense, our rear guard, rear reward. And so I knew the exact moment. I knew when it transferred through the eyes. And I said, uh-oh, what is this? It's too late. It was too late. And then because I deal with so many other people, I had to deal with that. See, you got to know your own spirit, man. You got to know your own soul well enough to know when anybody's spirit is trying to invade it. And it isn't that somebody pick you out and talk. You've been targeted by the devil because you got a cross on your back. Whosoever cometh after me must pick up his cross daily and follow me. You're gonna be targeted by these spirits because you are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hidden. And by that devil, by that Lucifer devil, being in heaven, the first thing it recognizes on the person is the light of God. And the first thing it wants to do is put it out. It wants to put the light out. And brothers and sisters, God is not, some of you got the wrong impression. Yes, the grandparents knew it. It wasn't me individually. It's not me. They just want the grandkids to be brought back under the power of Satan. It's not about flesh and blood. And it's not about a person. It's about a spirit. Now, these little grandkids I'm talking about are highly gifted. Trust me, they're gifted. They love God. They don't want to be back up under that. But it's something in this cult thing. It's a position that they had for their mother that the mother ran away from. She did not want her kids sex trafficked. She did not want her kids under the influence of drugs. She did not want her kids under the influence of the Antichrist. But do you hear what I say? Sometimes a good thing, well, let me put it this way. A good thing has to be brought under a God thing. It's got to be a God thing. And see, I can't hold anybody responsible for that but me. It was me.
And so I had to break it, get it off of me. And how do you, and another one of the questions was, well, how do you know when you've been hit? Well, with everybody it's different, but I'll give you one little indicator. When your spirit man is sensitive, open, when you have the discerning of spirits gift, you will discern those spirits, and you can discern those, you can discern spirits with all your senses, sight, sound, taste, touch, smell, hearing. Okay? If you ever be around somebody, and I want to ask any if any of you have ever had this experience. Have you ever been around a person and then all of a sudden a thought comes to your mind and it would fit into the character of that person? Like, you know you don't like tomatoes. You know you don't like tomatoes, but there's a person around you bound by witchcraft. Then all of a sudden you'd be saying, I want some spaghetti with tomato sauce. Or you'd be around a person that has, put this in the chat room, familiar spirits. Familiar spirits. And that person walks with a limp. And let's say the limp is on their right hip or right knee. One day you just stand up, and all of a sudden, it's like something hit your right knee or your right hip in the same place that person with the familiar spirits complains about. You know you've been hit because it's not you. Those are the familiar spirits from that person. When I looked in the little girl's eyes, it was almost chilling. And my thought was, who is that? Because it wasn't her. And this is why you got to become spiritually astute, spiritually aware. You got to become skillful in the spirit, because I'm going to give you an example. Everybody in America ought to be aware of this right now. I tried to stay up. By the way, I'm writing a book. I got all the stuff laid on my desk here to write the book about loving God, serving God, and in service to God. I found some great stuff. Okay, so I'm going to put it together in this book form. I got it all laying right here. I just got to put it together. But I have so many other things to do. I couldn't do it last night because God wanted to talk to me. And I'm in this new place with God. Okay? So I wanted to watch the Iowa caucuses. I just want to watch them. I don't care who you vote for. Vote for your choice or whatever. Whatever God tell you, that's who you vote for. But I wanted to, it was something God said, I want to show you. I said, okay. See, God will tell you, want to show you something in people. Write this down in this chat room. Put chaos witchcraft. The people in Iowa are under chaos witchcraft. The Democratic Party up there is under chaos witchcraft. And when you get some time, you can look chaos. They're all under chaos witchcraft. Chaos witchcraft causes chaos so that the craft can be enacted. Do you understand? Shannon is running one of my old programs I did on his show on witchcraft right now.
I got about 10 emails from people saying, well, I heard you on Shannon last night talking about deliverance from witchcraft. And I said, okay, good. Right now, everybody, the whole state of Iowa needs deliverance from chaos and witchcraft. And every next state that the caucus coming in, they're all under the influence of chaos witchcraft. And let me tell you, and that's kind of like what I'm dealing with this situation with the little kids and their mom and the whole thing. Oh, Kim say, yeah, it was an old one. Okay. The way chaos, look at the definitions of chaos. Look, disorder, disarray, disorganization, confusion. And what does God say? He said he is not the author of confusion. God distinctly tells us he has nothing to do with confusion, commotion, disruption, frenzy. He has nothing to do with that. Entropy. You know what? Entropy. He has nothing to do with that. And people that have been in bondage to satanic ritual abuse and serious abuse, what they do, babble. Look down under synonyms. It lists babble. What they do, they cause chaos. And they use it as a, put this down, distraction. They use the chaos. I see you got on here, all hell broken loose. That's what they do. And you know who's a master at that? Witchcraft and witches and Jezebel. They live in a constant state of chaos. They create a constant state of chaos as a distraction. It is so that you will be so distracted in the chaos that you will miss the purpose of God, that you will miss the plan of God. Why? Because you're so busy fighting off this chaos. Why? Because chaos unlooses pressure on people. Chaos puts pressure on people. And what you want is you just want to get that pressure up off of you. But next time you be in that, don't want to get, look for the source of it. Find the source of it. And destroy the source and you won't have to deal with it again. One of my friends called me up from Canada. And they were telling me, we have a problem in my family. And they were telling me about one of their relatives was on drugs, alcohol, you name it. And so then they were saying, what do I cast out? Do I cast out pharmakia? Do I cast out... I said, wait a minute. You're not qualified to cast out nothing until you find out what the problem is. And see, that's how I got hit. It was not my deliverance, so I did not do things the way I would normally do them because I'm assuming too much. I'm assuming too much. And what I was assuming had not happened. So therefore, I was at a disadvantage. But that ain't going to happen no more. Mm-mm. And see, the other thing is when you're dealing with somebody that come out of Christian abuse, you gotta get them Christ focused, Christ centered, Christ consumed. And I was working on that. I was working on that.
So that devil knew that it had to hit me hot, hard, and fast. I can laugh about it today, but I wasn't laughing a couple days ago. And the only reason I could laugh now is because I really put it up to God. And I said, okay, God, what am I supposed to learn in this? And I finally, you know, got around to that last night. And so God said, glad you asked me. I'm glad you asked me. Instead of going by what you see or what you think you know. I said, uh-oh. Uh-oh. We got to get this thing right. And so I asked him, which way should I have, you know, if I, how do I fix this? Because, see, I'm very careful. Because you can't fix the things of God. God can. And only God can. So what I wanted to know, what I needed to know is, how do I come back and straighten this out after you fix it? After God fix it. Praise God. Okay. You see, yeah, Pastor Michael just sent me a text. It said, I don't know if I have permission to read it. Text me back if I have permission to read it. Thank you. He said he had to pull over and share this real quick. Okay. Pastor Michael said, having worked many years in an orphanage, hospital, law enforcement, and now school bus, it was only after getting to know Jesus as my deliverer that I am starting to understand the ability of spirits to transfer through children. And now it makes sense why I've heard countless nurses tell me they could not work in the NICU around babies or children, and many experienced officers tell how they could not handle cases involving children. Many have a weakness for children. Just had to pull over to share that real quick. And that's how they got me. That's exactly how they got me. And that is how they got a lot of you teachers that sent me those emails. And that's how they get a lot of other people that are caretakers for children. You've got to learn just what Jesus said. Find this scripture for me. Put not your trust in the arm of flesh. NICU, neonatal intensive care unit. And you know what? I'm so glad. Whew. Put not your trust in the arm of flesh. Could you put that in here? That's any arm of flesh, big flesh, medium-sized flesh, little flesh, baby flesh. You love them. But you got to understand they have a spirit too. They have a spirit just like everybody else. And you know what else too? Your spirit has to be trained to discern. That's in the Bible too. That's the scripture. Your spirit, and it talks about exercising this gift, exercising it. You got to use it all the time, not when you think you need to use it. It that's why I have not talked much about the fast, if you notice. I want the fast to become so normal to you that you don't have to talk about it, that you just go on through it. Back in the day, I'd have been, oh, stay on your fast, da 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 da. Nope. It's got to become a part of you. It's got to become part of something that you do automatically. Jeremiah 17:5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. The devil has many, many tricks. Many, many tricks. And he uses them all. I'm working with another family member where the devil just targeted different members of their family in different ways. But the root and the line is going all the way back to the same people, the same Christian cult. And that was that Heaven's Gate cult. It has so many extensions, so many chains. And remember this, all of them didn't die. They still got their website up. It never stopped going. It never missed one day being up. Even after all those 30-something people committed suicide. Because there was an arm of that cult that they left alive with a mission to connect with the dead, to receive a direction from the dead. And you know what? They all deceived because it's demons. Put that in there again, familiar spirits. I done looked at 14 different definitions of familiar spirits, and none of them tell the truth. I read books, it ain't that many, but they all lie. Because they're talking about familiar spirits from a fleshly, carnal perspective. I had a preacher tell me yesterday about he still didn't get it, brothers and sisters. Yo. Problems, your issues, your situations and circumstances are not coming to you from flesh and blood. It's coming to you from spirits and through spirits. And if you don't get that, then you're going to miss, I'll tell you what you're going to be. You're going to be jockeyed around, kicked around like a football. By what? These spirits. All, put this in there in the chat room. All witches utilize familiar spirits. That's their number one spirit they use. All witches. What did the witch of Endor? What did Saul, when he went to the witch of Endor, what did he say? He said, divine me up a familiar spirit. Ain't that what he said? So what is there to miss? What is there not to know? Divine me up a familiar spirit. And guess what? Somebody said to me yesterday, I mean, I had some peculiar conversations yesterday because I was talking about children and spirits and witchcraft and demons. People want to tell you that familiar spirits is a spirit that was just familiar with your family. That too. But you ain't divined up nothing to work against you through your family line, have you? Now, some people do that do household witchcraft. They do. They summons up familiar spirits to work against their sister, their brother, their aunt, their uncle, their niece, their nephew, their cousin. Some people will tell you they can contain them in a jar. Well, let me tell you something. They can. They can. Some people, they'll tell you they can contain them in a little object. They can. A baby witch know how to summons up a familiar spirit. A baby witch. Harry Potter taught them, if you want to know the truth. Charmed, bewitched. All these shows. But brothers and sisters, they ain't going to tell you the true way to get rid of them. It's only one way. In the name of Jesus. It's only one way. By the power of God's own Holy Spirit. It's only one way. God command that thing to judgment. Now, I said to you that there was chaos witchcraft. Well, it ought to make common sense. If you got a man running for the president of the United States with a husband, I mean, that's straight up rebellion. I didn't pay it any attention till yesterday. He's already a mayor with a husband. A man, they said, I heard the newscaster say this man's name, and then he say his husband. I say, his husband? Caught my attention. What is that but rebellion? Rebellion is as the sin of what? Witchcraft. That right there. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. We got problems. You guys better hurry up and get activated and get out there and start dealing with this stuff. We got a spirit of lust, a spirit of perversion, a spirit of sexual perversion. So what? We're going to have incubus and succubus running the government? Whoa. Is that it? We're going to have incubus and succubus, huh? Well, I'm not. Not me. I'm glad God got my attention. So, go to Genesis chapter 6, verse 13 and post that. What's that say? Genesis chapter 6, verse 13. What does that say? It says, and God said unto Noah, look at this, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. I didn't say that. The Bible does. That's why we had the flood. Then came the flood. I'm praying God will send, and I believe it, a revival, real awakening. And maybe one of you will be the instrument that God will use. But not unless you know the difference between spirit, soul, body. Not unless you can operate effectively and skillfully with understanding, wisdom, and love in both realms, all realms. That's what it's going to take. And then people will come and fight me. They want to change me. I ain't going to change. I'm not going to change. I didn't say I wasn't going to learn. I'm an eternal learner. But the only change I desire to make, the only change I will to make is toward God. Closer to God. More of God. That's the only change I'm going to make. I'll make that change willingly because I'm submitted. Don't take this headline lightly. Now I'm going to share with you what God told me this morning for me. He said, Erica, I told you a long time ago, I wanted a church and I don't ever want the doors locked. I don't ever want the doors shut. He said, I want that church open 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and 24 hours a day. I want it accessible. I said, yes, Lord. He said, I was at the healing home praying. He said, so as of, if you didn't take advantage of the healing home by March 1, it's being shut down. I am renovating this church. I have always asked God, give me a church big enough to live in it. So I don't have to come out if I don't want to. That's how much I love Jesus. That's how much I love his church. And this is my will. So the healing home will be closed as of March 1. Today, I'm calling all the utilities. I'm telling them to close it. Turn them off after March 1. Everything I do will be done out from under the establishment of Jesus Believers Church. I'm not praying for another person in my office after March 1 shut down. All of that was to get me to where I'm at right now. I will be under the umbrella of the church and the anointing for everything I do. Yay! And I'm glad about it. This is what I asked God for a long time ago. Long, long, long time. That's why, Brother Joe, we done had people live with us so many years, we don't even know what it's like to live outside of with other people. I'm fixing it up, too. One project at a time, I'm fixing it up. It's God's house. As of Friday, we will be coming live from Jesus Believers Church. And slowly but surely, as I move things in order, as I move them as God tells me to, it'll be set up. And man, I just cannot wait to move. I cannot wait to wake up in the church. I'm so looking forward to it. Now, this morning, I just got to go over one thing with you, and then I'm going to get to work. Go to Romans chapter 10, verses 10 through 21. And don't think the healing home is beautiful. If you've been there and seen it, but the church is where God lives. I know He lives everywhere too, but see, you can sanctify and set apart that land. That we got a whole corner. He who ruled the corner ruled the neighborhood. Did you know that? I have been living under such extreme pressure here. I'm living in under the confines of other people was ruling the corner. Not after February 15th, they won't. Romans chapter 10, verses 10 through 21. Romans chapter 10, verses 10 through 21. For with the heart, somebody just write the word heart about 7 times. Heart. H-E-A-R-T. But with the heart, man, what? Right. Believeth. B-E-L-I-E-V-E-T-H. Believeth. The heart believeth. The heart believeth. Believeth, brothers and sisters, when you see that King James E-T-H on the back of anything, that means they do it and they keep on doing it. So with the heart, man believes, and keep on believing. Keeps on believing unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes and keeps on believing and keeps on believing on him, Jesus, whosoever believes on Jesus and keeps on believing on Jesus shall not be ashamed. They shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is rich unto all that what call upon him. That call upon him. The heart believeth put calls upon Jesus. The heart believeth calls upon Jesus. The heart that believes and keeps on believing and keeps on believing calls upon Jesus. For whosoever put me, you, for whosoever, write your name in there. For whosoever, Erica. For Erica shall call upon the name of the Lord and shall be saved. For Erica shall call upon the name of the Lord and Erica shall be saved. But how is Erica going to call upon? Out of her heart. Out of your heart. And what kind of heart are you supposed to have? You're supposed to have a believing heart. You're supposed to have a believing heart. How then shall Erica call on him in whom Erica has not believed? Brothers and sisters, how can you call on Jesus in whom you have not believed? Well, Erica, how can you say that? Well, let me ask you this. Have the desires of your heart been fulfilled? That's all I want to know. But the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord out of their heart, that believe it, But how can you believe in Jesus if you have not heard? How can they believe in Jesus if they've not heard? Because you ain't told them. Because you ain't told them. So the only reason, the Bible says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Because some of you don't believe you're a sent one. That's just the bottom line. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. It says so right here in 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. What is the gospel? Believe. Believing. You're going to have to muster up. Don't be deceived. You cannot minister to somebody that doesn't believe. You're wasting your time if they don't believe. Well, how will we know they believe? By their actions. Faith without works is dead. So somebody gonna tell me, well, they did this because they have an altar. You a liar. They have a free will. They're passive. You don't want to minister to anybody that's passive. Come see, come saw. What I got to do? Very little. But that's a lie. You got to approach this thing like you're approaching it for your very life. And you are. You are. You got to approach this. And all of you, you know, listening to the tail line this morning, that think you're all this and that, you're not. Jesus is. And without him, you're not going to get what you need. Without faith in him, you're not going to get what you need. Without believing in Jesus as your Lord, Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, listen, who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. But I say, look right here, it's right here. But I say, have they not heard? Have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he said, all day long I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Some of you listening on this tail line this morning, except you repent and turn back to God. Come back to your first love. Take the knowledge you got and put it under Jesus. And come to him as a little child. You know, the hardest thing I think I had to learn in ministry was to put my trust and my dependency in Christ Jesus. And I'm not the only one. You're going to have to learn this too. You can learn it the easy way or you can learn it the hard way. It's up to you. But you see that spirit of rebelliousness in most people? Caused them to have to learn it the hard way. Ask me how I know. I was that way too. Ask me how I can recognize it. I can see it. Tomorrow, I'm going to try to get this, but like right now, where I am at right now, I need to teach you about eyes that can see and ears that can hear. I don't know how I'm going to get caught up. I don't know. Oh, I do. When I do my evening evening, spirits, I subject unto you. Your eyes got to be sanctified. Jesus said, what did God say? What did God say? God said, be ye holy as I am holy. Without holiness, no man. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. And I ain't talking about what you wear, what you put on your lips, how short your skirt is. It ain't about that. It's about the condition of your what? Your heart. Your heart. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the heart. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. It's okay. It's all right. But some of you need to come back to your first love, Jesus. Come back home to Christ.
This young man,
I'm not done teaching about the children either. But you got to get this right first. And then the children will get it.
This young man, he had it all made at home for him. So one day, he said to his father, Dad, please give me my portion of inheritance. I'm leaving. So his father gave him his portion and he left. Now listen to the story.
It's never too late. Please come back home. It's never too late.
Come back.
Never.
Believers Church, 508 Sheridan Avenue, Dalton, Georgia. From the mountaintop, bringing you the headline. I'll see you tomorrow if the Lord say the same.